What's up, guys? Colin here with a quick preamble for today's podcast. This is something quite a bit different from normal, actually. This is a roundtable that Dom and I both recently participated in, talking about the upcoming season of Survivor Maryland All-Stars. If you've been a regular listener of the show, you've heard us talk about Survivor Maryland before. It is done by a good friend of the podcast at this point, Austin Trupp, and he is someone you're going to be hearing a lot from because he's going to be the one moderating this roundtable as we get into the cast of Survivor Maryland All-Stars. Which probably by the time you're hearing this is hopefully already out on YouTube. That's dropping Monday night, and I am only putting this podcast out a couple hours before that's going up. So definitely do give that a look. But in case you are getting this ahead of time, or if you want to go back and check this out after you've already watched the premiere, this is a roundtable that Dom and I did about a week ago at this point. And as mentioned, Austin is the one moderating it, and also on the panel are your winner of Survivor Millennials versus Gen X, Adam Klein, who is also a longtime fan of Survivor Maryland. And also on the panel is Hillary from Survivor Canada, who was fantastic to talk to as well. So I guess, yeah, before I'm trying to think of if there's anything else I need to get to before we send it over to Austin. I guess one thing worth mentioning is at a certain point, Austin's microphone starts sounding weird for maybe 20 minutes in there or so, but we eventually get that figured out. I don't think there's anything else going on. I guess actually, if you're hearing this in the next couple of days by the time this is going up, the reason I'm doing this intro by myself is because Dom is currently on a plane to the United States. We're both going to be in Boston for the live know-it-alls. So if you're going to be there, definitely do come up and say hi. I think, though, without much further ado, let's send it over to Austin Trupp and this roundtable we did previewing Survivor Maryland All-Stars.
All right. Hello, everybody who is watching in the audience. I'm Austin Trupp, if you don't know me. I am the host of Survivor Maryland. If you're here, then you probably know that. So we'll move on from me. I have some four people here who I'm really excited about to talk about Survivor Maryland with here in the preseason. We are 8 days away from the premiere, which I still can't possibly fathom. It seems like it should be 2 years from now still, but here we are. It is done, so there's really nothing to be surprised about. Thank you guys for all your commentary and stuff in the preseason so far. We've got a lot of fun stuff planned for tonight, and we will talk Survivor in a second. I just have a few announcements, and then I will introduce everybody. Let's introduce everybody first. Why not? So I'm going to start off with we have Hillary Nguyen. Is that right? I'm
saying that. Yeah, Nguyen Don.
Okay, there we go. We have Hillary from Survivor Kanata, which is a Canadian version of another fan-made version of Survivor. And Hillary was someone that I absolutely loved watching in her season. If you haven't seen that, definitely check it out in the coming weeks or whatever, whenever you're not dealing with All-Stars and Ghost Island. Definitely check out Survivor Kanata. Hillary, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. It's really nice to talk to you. I've never actually met you or anything.
I know. We just tweet each other occasionally about fan-made survivors.
Well, isn't that how all friendships are formed?
I guess so, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's meeting you.
Creepy, but yeah. Well, it's really nice to talk to you, and thank you for coming on to the video here. Then we got, I guess I have to introduce them together. So we've got Dom and Colin from the Dom and Colin podcast.
What's up? I'm already nervous about the Austin and Hillary alliance going on in this podcast. So,
yeah, unlike Hillary, I have actually met Austin, and it was one of the best occasions of my life. So, truly honored to be here.
Well, I'm very excited to see both of you guys in Boston soon. So that's a thing that will be happening.
Yeah, Austin in Boston, baby.
Yeah, actually, Marissa from Terrapin Trials always calls me Boston. So it's a really weird thing that I'm now going to Boston. There's just a little fun fact for you.
Is Boston an exotic location for you? Have you been to Boston before?
No, I haven't. I actually haven't. Yeah. Go figure.
Prepare to be underwhelmed.
Okay. Well, so if you guys have not checked out the Dom and Colin podcast about Survivor and the Genius and many other things, absolutely you guys should give it a shot. They were really kind enough to let me onto their podcast to talk about Survivor Maryland over a year and a half ago when Guts and Glory was ending. So here we are again. It's all come full circle, but definitely awesome podcast that I listen to every week. And check that out if you have not already done so. And then we have a man who needs definitely an introduction if you don't know who he is. We have Adam Klein from Survivor Millennials vs. Gen X. Adam, how you doing?
I also met Austin, but it really wasn't that great.
Yeah, I would have expected that.
It was fine. I don't know what Dom's talking about. I mean, yeah, Austin's cool, I guess.
Yeah, there's that killer social game we've all heard so much about.
That's how you win a unanimous jury vote, people. Pay attention.
Adam is very blunt. We've learned that.
Neg your way to $1 million.
Actually, I met Adam on the night that Sandra got voted off, which is like really like a bad sign for any friendship that starts. Like you don't want to be together on that night, but that is what happened.
I met Adam on the night that Figgy got voted off, so that was a pretty good night to be meeting Adam.
Pretty sure that was my cousin.
Sorry, yeah, there was a guy who sounded a lot like Adam.
Well, thank you for coming on, Adam. It's been nice. We got to play Survivor together. Check out. I mean, I guess the big thing to plug for Adam is the Mole Lake Tahoe. If you.
Oh God. which Austin is going to finish after 9 years in the pipeline.
Yes, it is certainly coming in the near future. And by that, I mean the far distant future. So, yeah, so those are our four guests anyway.
Yeah, so I guess I started fan-made reality television before you, Austin.
The real game changer.
Yeah, congrats. It's really definitely your claim to fame.
Yeah, it really set me off on a great trajectory.
Yes. Well, so these are the, we got a lot of people here. These are the people that we will be working with tonight to try to figure out the preseason, try to talk about Survivor Maryland. This is a treat for me, especially because I either am sitting here doing a monologue video or I'm sitting behind my computer editing. And I've gotten a lot of really great feedback over the years from the fans, but it's really cool to see people actually come together, talk about the season, predict it. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Survivor Maryland for a bit, kind of from a broad level. Then we'll talk a bit about All-Stars, and then we will get into a draft of the season. You know, these four are – there's certainly some Survivor Maryland super fans out there, people who make the wikis, and those are my favorite people in the world. I would say that – we'll talk about this, but the four of these guys are maybe Survivor Maryland casuals. But that's what I wanted. I want people to be talking about the season and feel like it's okay to do. And we're just going to have a lot of fun tonight talking. So are you guys ready to go launch into stuff?
Let's do it.
Yay, let's go.
Yeah. Only other announcements I had before I forget, if you've been living under a rock, the premiere of All-Stars will be next Monday, a week from tomorrow. I'm going to probably post that. The plan right now is to post it at 7 p.m. Eastern time. That'll give everybody whatever time of your night you get home and are able to watch it. We'll start it then. And then my currently tentative plans, but I've been reaching out to some people who also asked me about being part of this video. And my hope is to get a kind of like a fan roundtable together to discuss, react to the premiere, and predict the rest of the season. So that's what I'm looking into doing on Monday night, probably about 9:30 p.m. Eastern or something like that. So everybody will hopefully have time to watch it. It's going to be a little under an hour and a half episode, so full premiere, a lot going on. And I certainly know that All Stars is going to be a lot of fun. I don't want to overhype it, but I think it's really going to be a blast for everybody. And yeah, so those are the announcements I have. And without further ado, let's get into talking. So the first question I have is, I want to ask each of you just individually, you know, this is a fan-made show that there's a lot of stigmas about fan-made shows. A lot of people don't want to give it a shot. They only want to watch the, you know, a highly produced budget CBS show. So we'll start with Adam for you. How on earth did you start watching Survivor Maryland?
I don't remember. Do you remember how I actually don't remember. I have a terrible memory. Did you post it on Reddit?
Probably. I just remember you commenting and somebody pointed out to me after the cast was revealed, saying, "Hey, this guy comments on your episodes." And so I reached out to you.
Well, I had commented throughout, season two, Marilyn Outback or whatever. Yeah. And I think while that was airing or shortly thereafter, so it was a long time before I ever went on Survivor that I watched it. And so I'm still just that same guy that was watching it before. And I don't know how I found it, but I realized once I start watching it that it was like actually legit and that these people were playing the game hard. And I don't again, I have a terrible memory, but something about the like Chris-Christy rivalry, and the way that they like got things over on each other, and there was a big blind side. And like you said before, I'm a total casual, clearly, but there was something about that season that was like, this is awesome. This is real Survivor. This is what I love about the real show. I was hooked.
Yeah, the real Dom and Chris Noble of our time.
Yeah, and maybe you can give a little more context at some point about what was actually going on there, because I'm sure it'll come up in All Stars as well. You know, there's got to be some lingering rivalry there. But that hooked me in for sure.
Yeah, and I forgot to put this at the top. If you're watching and you have not seen the seasons and you don't want spoilers, like you're going to catch up in a week, then tune out. We're going to be talking about spoilers.
You're watching the wrong podcast.
Yeah. If you're planning on watching All Stars and you haven't seen the seasons, then A, I encourage you to see them because the backstory will definitely add character to it. You don't have to. You can enjoy it without it. But if you want to keep watching and you want to be spoiled, that's fine. But just laying that out there so nobody gets mad. That makes sense for Marilyn Outback. Really fun season. And that's kind of, I know, when people started actually, because La Plata Island was terrible and I stopped. But that's when people actually kind of started watching and saying this is kind of fun. So, Colin, Dom, oh, we'll start with Colin. Dom, you guys can chime in whenever you want. I don't know. You're like joint twins. I know how you guys started. I think I reached out to you guys on Twitter maybe and was like, hey, check out this show because, you know, shameless self-promotion. But I guess what when you started watching it, because you could have blown me off, what kept you actually invested in the show?
I yield the floor. So, Colin, go ahead.
As if there was any doubt. Okay. For me, it's exactly what Adam just hit on. I think you are right that Austin, I was trying to remember how I got into it. And that was what I remembered as well, is I think you just sent us a direct message saying, I put a lot of work into this. If you guys wanted to check it out, that'd be great. And let me know what you think. And I was willing to, as I have with several other different kinds of fan-made shows, give it a shot. I'll watch the first like 15, whatever minutes or first episode or however long they are. And Austin, it was just so clear right away to me that this felt almost identical to watching actual CBS primetime Survivor, and all the way through the first episode. And as I kept going, just every single episode, pre-merge, post-merge, both of the seasons that I've watched, I really do feel like it's on virtually that same level. It's not the same production quality, obviously, because you don't have a millions of dollar budget and John Kierhofer making challenges for you. But I think it's truly remarkable what a job you're able to do with it.
Yeah, so for my part, after Colin started watching it, he recommended it to me. And usually I would take that as a sign to just ignore what he was saying and I'll watch it later and then just never get around to it. But this time I actually did, and I can understand why, because as Colin said, it's not the real Survivor, it's not the fake Survivor that Adam won, but it's as close to the real thing as you're going to get. And I think a lot of fan-made shows try to just have this cheap knockoff of the real Survivor when what you put on seem to understand that you're working within very different constraints, but you made the most of what you had and you found ways to add new innovations to it based on that. So that's what kind of drew me in. And the casting was really good. So I started with Guts and Glory, but all of the seasons that I went back and watched, I really enjoyed. And it was clear that just on casting, production, editing, everything, it was just a cut above any of the other fan-made shows that I've seen before.
Right. I think the casting really stands out, and having people who are blatantly there to play really hard and play to win.
I would venture to guess that it's not so much casting, but the way that, and I'm not there, so I don't know, but I'm guessing it's the way that Austin handles the staff and the cast, because you can inspire people to want to play really hard and to take it seriously. Or if you're kind of a schmuck, then I think even if you get really interesting people, you've got to create the atmosphere to like make that happen. So I would venture to guess that Austin is somewhat responsible just as a host and a showrunner for bringing out that attitude in the cast. Maybe.
I remember when we interviewed Austin like a year and a half ago about Survivor Maryland, I was wondering how he tried to like maintain decent enough like personal relationships between these people who know each other in real life. And his answer will always stay with me of like, oh no, I want them to hate each other by the time this is over. I think that comes through. The people are encouraged to like play super hard.
Yeah. Well, I will just say I am a schmuck. That doesn't mean play exclusive, but, I appreciate you guys saying that. I don't want to make this into a love fest about me. So I'm going to move to Hillary.
And, oh, well, yeah. Like, I guess same question, but like, for me, well, I kind of was on the Canada, like Survivor Canada, whatever, with Gyra and Tyler. And then we had a Survivor group chat after the season ended, and they were kind of recommending other fan-made Survivors, and yours was one of them, along with another, but I won't mention it because I don't want to plug them. But yours was really, I really enjoyed it because I'm more of a Big Brother fan, and I think with Maryland, it's almost like a merge between Big Brother and Survivor, just because you have the three, like, I guess it's over such a longer duration of time, and they all live on Res. So I think with that, it was almost a combination of Big Brother and Survivor to me. And the fact that they're all students, I think I just enjoyed more because there's so much competitive. And I just liked the fact that it was incorporating in their school life. And it just became so crazy at the end when, like, that one season with Faluke and Victoria. And that was just so dramatic, but it still affected them in real life. And I just, like, liked how it was just so crazy with all of that being a part of their school lives. And also being part of this game.
Yeah.
I started with season 3, I think, for yours. And then I think Chris Lacombe kept commenting on my comments saying, like, watch season 2. I'm like, okay, sure. And then I did. So I got hooked on that after.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it was, I think I remember when you first started watching after, because I'd also been commenting on your guys' episodes. They were a lot of fun. But
Can I also just say that I think it's kind of fun to point out the impact that Survivor Maryland has had on the fan-made Survivor community, because I know of a few, and Austin probably knows of a lot more, that have developed since Survivor Maryland sort of, like, got some more viewers and some more attention, right? Like, how many others have sort of been birthed out of it that sort of are similar?
The really cool thing for me is to see that there's got to be like 15 college ones at this point, and there have been some really good ones too. Like, I think that the fan-made game has really upped its level of production value. I mean, having things like iPhones that are developing and camera quality helps, but I think everybody's kind of stepped up their game over time, and I hope that we're getting to the point where people aren't stigmatized from watching those, because there's some really, really worthwhile content.
No, and yeah, this isn't, is like isn't 70, fellow... 8 years after Survivor started, and the fact that they're cropping up now, I don't think is a coincidence.
Isn't a fellow millennial Will Wall involved with one of them at Ohio State?
That's
which
right.
Was also awesome. That was also a lot of fun to watch, and I think Greg, the host, seems like a lot of influence from Austin.
Yeah, I mean, Greg and I talked for like hours before this show started. I've been able to work with a lot of people who have been starting them up, and that's been really fun. And you know, I hope that, especially with, you know, All Stars ending, whatever, I'm moving on. Like, I think that more awareness for other shows that people put so much time into is really worthwhile, and I hope that is something that comes out of it.
When did season 1 start? Sorry for you. How long have you been thinking about Maryland Survivor? Has it been like 5 years or so at this point now?
I started in 2012.
Wow. So yeah.
6 years at this point, and it's been a long.
Only 3 years after the Molek Tahoe.
That's right. Right. You know, I didn't see the Molek Tahoe before. There were some forerunners to the fan-made Survivor that I did watch that helped inspire me, but. I can't say the Molek Tahoe is one.
Now you got to do a mole fan made so we can bring that show back on real television.
Well, I was going to say that I did get asked a lot, why didn't I do Big Brother? Because people aren't living outside. And I know some people won't watch my show because they're like, I want the outdoor living. But I just like the Survivor format. I didn't want to have 2 challenges a week. Let's be real.
Look, nobody wants the outdoor living. The people they say they watch Survivor for that are liars. They're filthy, filthy.
So with that in mind, so let's move on to next question I have, and I just have some individual questions from each of you guys, because I think you all kind of bring different perspectives of how you watch the show and how you perceive Survivor Maryland as well. So starting off with Hillary, you know, you've played in a fan-made game before pretty recently, so I guess for you, I mean, how does the college format kind of compare to that, and is it, you know, watching that compared to you playing for, I don't know, you guys played for like a few days or something. How do you find that different? Yeah.
Like for the Canada version, it's like super accelerated. It's only a few days long. So you can't really like form those connections, as opposed to your version where you guys have like months to create like friendships and alliances and whatever. And especially if they're living on Res, it makes it so much more easier. And with technology as well, like you can just text people up and like it's so easy to build that connection. But with ours, it's like super accelerated. And I think because it's so locally based, they have a lot of people already have like connections prior to going on the show. So it's like, it's really hard to kind of join in on a group when they already known each other from like church or something like that. So that one's really hard for me just because it's like, you only have like 4 days to actually do it. And I think also I'm not like a super fan when it comes to Survivor. I'm like Big Brother scum. So I'm more into Big Brother.
Big Brother.
And with that, like, I remember when I was on my season, they got a little like offended that I kept using Big Brother terminology when I'm on the Survivor based fan made show or whatever. So that they didn't like that. And I think because of that, it was like a little hard for me, but whatever. But just the comparison with your version of the show versus like Survivor Canada, just the duration, I think that's like a huge factor. And that's why I like it so much more, because it's so much more, I guess, genuine when they build those connections.
Yeah, I mean, that was really the fun part for me, was to see people develop these really long connections over time. I think I got in a fight one time with somebody on Reddit because they were like, your show sucks, it's not real. And like, I don't like to engage in that. You know, people can watch if they want, but I was not more real. Like, there's real things about living there for 3 days. Absolutely. You know, mm-hmm. time apart. There's also real things about spending so much time and having your mind just go crazy for so long, which I'm sure we'll go to Adam next. So you play the real
game. Why did you bring up haters on Reddit?
That's right. That was the connection. But you played, you know, the CBS game, 39 days, 24 hours. It's a lot of time, certainly. You played a fan made game that we both played in together. So where do you stand on, you know,
and hosted my own
and hosted your own. So watching the college setting, you know, watching just that group of people too. I mean, how do you feel like that compares to your experiences on both shows?
Well, I just wonder if any of them get any homework done the entire semester. I don't understand. It seems like they're always playing Survivor. Like,
yeah, especially when rush too for fraternities. I was thinking that the whole time. I'm like, they literally dedicate their whole life for this.
And do they have time to go to parties? Do you ever film at parties? Because they must talk at parties. Like, they must go to some of the same parties and strategize there. Like, I'm trying to imagine going to a frat party on a Friday night and thinking, oh, no, like, you know, Siona's here. I need to, like, or whatever, like...
You're forgetting the iconic vote out Nicole party scene from Marilyn Outback.
Oh,
Halloween party.
I am forgetting that scene. No, what was the question? I don't know. It's how does it compare? It's obviously totally different. But I think what it takes to win isn't all that different, because Survivor, even when you're living on an island and starving, I would say is like 75% social. And if anything, it's only amplified in your version when it's not only a game for them, but it's also going to determine who are they going to continue to hang out with, not just for the next 37, 36 days, but for the entire semester. Because I'm assuming the people that go home early, they don't get to know all that well. Sort of they're not going to be hanging out with in terms of the context of the game, right?
Right. Definitely somewhat, yeah.
So they're choosing kind of who they want to be friends with for the rest of the semester and maybe even beyond for their whole like college career. So I think it'd be even more social in your game.
I think that's a fair assessment, yeah. Would you think you could have, how would you have balanced your life at Stanford if you were playing Survivor Stanford?
I actually think it would have been healthier, because I think I probably spent the same amount of time that your players play on Survivor myself, except it was just like watching videos and like going on Reddit and like dreaming about being on the show one day. And so if I could have done all that while like also making friends at school and engaging in the community, I think that would have been a win-win-win.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to change too much about what happened.
I'm totally satisfied.
Yeah. So Dom and Colin, for you guys, I mean, you guys talk a lot about the, you know, the different strategy games and strategy of the shows you guys watch. So how do you feel like the Survivor Maryland, the college strategy compares, or I guess, what do you like about it? What do you dislike about it from the strategy standpoint compared to, you know, the form of Survivor?
So for me, this is one of the differences I was alluding to before, that for some fan-made survivors, they go off into the woods for a few days and they just play an accelerated version of normal Survivor. So that's the version that you and Adam are on, let's say. That's that's one way to do it. But the way that you've done it here, I think it's, in some ways, it's much more real than normal Survivor, because it's integrated so heavily into their real lives that you know, they're going to school, they're meeting up with their friends from outside Survivor, and then an hour later they're on actual Survivor again. They're involved back in the game. And so, yeah, in some ways it makes it harder as a viewer, because you watch normal Survivor, you understand that these people are probably very different in real life, and usually for the better, sometimes the worst, but for the most part, you can watch someone and not like them on the show, but you understand that's maybe not how they truly are as a person. But on a fan-made Survivor like this, this is just their real life. So if you don't like them on the show, you probably just, they might just be a dick in real life. You don't know. But that's the kind of thing where you don't understand really what's going on behind the scenes all the time, because you know that off camera, you know, people are texting, they're meeting up, whatever. So there's a sense of distance from it that I think adds this new dimension. But ultimately, as Adam said, it comes back down to the same basic elements. Like, you need to be good with people, putting yourself out there, and all the same ingredients for success on normal Survivor are going to apply here by and large.
Yeah, Austin, were the bulk or even some of these players that you end up casting, do they tend to be fans of the show? Because the thing, as I talked about in terms of what just hooked me in the first place, and I think what every time I started watching would keep me watching like six episodes in a row, is just how hard it seemed like the vast majority of the players were playing pretty much every season. And I didn't know if that was with or without a frame of reference.
I would say most of that, like, probably a lot less so than like recent Survivor in terms of fans, because I don't force them to binge seasons beforehand. I don't give them stuff like that. They're not in sequester or anything. But I was really always looking for competitive people more than I was looking for fans. Fans who are competitive is ideal, but that's someone like Evan was a fan of the show who also was very competitive. That was like an easy casting choice for me. But people like Chris LeConte was not a fan, or even Katie was not a fan, or these people just, like, they're now really big fans of the show now that they've been part of it and they watch it religiously. But I was always looking for people who are competitive more than anything else, and the fandom was I think it can help find those kind of people who also are knowledgeable, but I don't think it's the be all end all for casting personally.
No, I mean, I think you do a good job, and I think that competitive kind of cast, like skewing towards competitive people, is going to be particularly important in a game with essentially no real prize. You're just doing it to see who can come out on top. And I think it really shows through that virtually everyone who's ended up on the seasons, at least that I've seen, has really fit that and been out there playing to win.
Yeah. And it helps. I think one of the things I always feel like I've gotten lucky in my boot orders and stuff in a lot of ways. And I think part of that is just because of the nature of the game. Like, if you're on Survivor and you're not giving a shit, or you're floating, like, you could just sit there and you're still there. But if you're not playing on Survivor Maryland, you're nowhere to be seen, and people are just going to put you out so easily. So I think that's actually a benefit that we get, along with, I think Dom was touching on earlier, some of the integration with real life. And I've always wanted CBS to bring back the One World twist and give it another shot. And that's just something that I've like heavily exploited with Survivor Maryland. But
I know at least on Maryland Outback, it felt like you said, I think, that you were drawing most of the cast from the same, like, the same floor or the same, like, dorm unit. So it's these are people who run into each other every day anyway. So even if you want to avoid someone, it's not like you can really do that, right?
Yeah, that's when you get the scenes of people, like, you know, hiding from people before the vote and whatever. I mean, that's stuff that was always the idea for me, was that it would be people from the same floor. And then I started to branch out and open it up to people from across campus. But yeah, that was the dream for me, was that it was basically living on an island together. It was just, a concrete island with housing rather than a desert island,
There's probably some time, because wasn't season one just you were an RA and the contestants were the people on your floor? There's probably some alternate timeline where you go down as like the worst RA in the history of the University of Maryland, because they all hate each other by the end of the season and you don't even get like a finished TV product out of it.
Well, the great thing was that they considered it an RA. Well, I wasn't an RA the first time, but starting in Maryland Outback, I was. And they considered it an RA program, so I'd spend so much of my time doing this that I was doing as an RA, which became harder to justify when people were barely in my dorm. But, yeah. So
Did you ever have a problem with people trying to, like, avoid production a little bit, or being difficult with you in terms of filming the show, and how did you handle that?
I mean, definitely 100% people would be like, I don't feel like doing confessionals or whatever. That's why you see some people who are under-edited in the show, because it just never worked out to do confessionals. I didn't have that many issues with it later on, but you get a few people here or there that make scheduling a nightmare or anything.
Right,
people didn't really hate me. But...
you show them not to do that by inserting producer interference to get them voted out so that people won't try to do that in the future, right?
I have never done that. The closest I came was that when Zandria got voted out in season two, I literally cheered and did a 360 like pirouette in front of all the players because she was so painful to schedule.
Zandria. Who was?
Egg Zandria, if you remember. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Not all all right. So
casual.
Yeah, I don't have any more big picture questions. If you guys in the comments sections want to hit up some big picture questions, we can ask them. But I think let's move into just some questions more about All-Stars as a whole. You guys don't have to reveal your draft strategy or whatever. But so I guess looking at the cast as a whole, from what you guys know about it, the 20 people, what do you think about it? What are the first things that jump out to you? What do you make of it? I don't really care who starts, if anybody has a strong take early on.
The Soka Trio.
The Soka Trio definitely stands out just all being there. But are we allowed to talk about the first 8 minutes as if everyone has seen that?
Yeah, I think everybody has probably – the first 8 minutes is out there. The episodes has plenty of stuff. So I think – go ahead and talk about the first 8 minutes.
Okay, sorry, Hillary. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, well, just like I was surprised that you got all three Soka Trio members on there. Like, I liked all of them, but like – I immediately think they're going to like realign together. So I just thought that was weird that you invited all three. Like, if anything, I liked Shannon and I think, no offense to Micah, but Shannon and Nevin, I think, were more two of the bigger, I guess, contestants that I would have brought back. And like, I probably would have cut Micah, if anything. I like that they're all back, but I'm surprised that all three were back.
Micah has a large following out there. I think you'd be surprised. Like, there's a lot of thirst, I guess. Maybe there's a better word for it, but Micah has done well in some circles.
Yeah, one thought that I had right away, I have actually not seen season two yet, although I do plan on watching that soon, although I have heard many times the name Chris LeCompte, and someone in the chat just wrote something quite in line with my first thought when I heard he was going to be back, which is Chris LeCompte is fucked.
Why?
I don't know. It just the fact that I've heard of him in this capacity signals to me that the players have probably also heard of him and have a lot of reasons to be worried.
Yeah, so they should be scared to go after him.
Okay. You being a Survivor alum, you've seen how those All-Star seasons tend to go, yes?
What do you mean by that?
Like, the big players tend to get chopped down relatively quickly, and we often wind up in an endgame with a lot of the less enticing casting choices still around.
But I think a big difference that we were just talking about that makes a difference in this is that, you know, the format is different. Like, if you're not playing hard, like Austin said, then you're not a part of the discussions. You're just not showing up. So I think that there are a lot of threats on the season, even the ones that like went home early. Like who was it? Rebecca that went home first?
Yeah.
Like, Rebecca was voted out first, but Rebecca played hard on her season, if I'm remembering correctly, and was like making alliances. And so everyone, I don't think this is like Game Changers where you have like seven really threatening people and then 13 not as threatening people.
Right. I guess I just feel like Chris, to me, feels like the Tony Vlachos entering Game Changers where everybody's going to know we have to be on the lookout for this guy.
But if you looked at the preseason bios, you'll notice that there are actually a number of people saying that they want to work with him, and a lot of people saying they want to blindside him, which means that they want to align with him initially, because you can't blindside someone that everyone knows you're coming for. So at least initially, they're going to be like, I'm going to make LeCompte think that like I'm working with him, but really at the final seven, I'm going to, well, you might not make it that long.
Yeah,
I think this also comes back to just having this take place as part of college life, because if you have never met Tony before, all you know is the legend of Tony, then if you're meeting him for the first time on Survivor, then that's very different, I think, from you probably have met Chris LeCompte either, because I think he was on Stuff for a bit, right, Austin? Or just you see him around campus, you maybe have some mutual friends, you met him a few times. They seem much less threatening when they're already a real person that exists, as far as you know. But yeah, I love seeing the Ahsoka trio back. It kind of reminds me of like Big Brother 6, to bring the Big Brother stuff back in, where you have this big alliance that people know about. And the question is, do you want to latch onto that? Do you want to target them? And this other twist that Austin's introduced, where everybody has a pair of the opposite gender, that's really interesting too, because now you might have an alliance of 3 or 4 people, and functionally that becomes this alliance of 7 or 8 people if everyone wants to team up. So I like that you have all of these different things going on, which as viewers, we are not really privy to. So it's Austin's job to introduce that and to explain it all properly. But I have a lot of faith that he will.
Well, that's the thing, is I have a ton of faith that he will. After watching that first 8 minutes of the season, there were a couple of, you did a good job, I think, Austin, of flagging up some of these rivalries, these vendettas that are going to be coming back in potentially as like major considerations for All-Stars. And there were a couple that were from season 2 that I'd never seen in action before, but by the time the 8 minutes was over, I was like totally stoked to see how it was going to play out. I guess it was not a combination of the 8 minutes as well as the 4 minute preview that I got to see as well. Those two things combined really made me super excited to see people that I've never even seen play the first time.
And also, I'm excited for the possibility of two people who have a vendetta getting paired up in this twist. So I'm not saying that Austin is rigging anything, but if he were, let's say, and Eric and Sierra just happened to be put together, I don't think anyone would complain about that.
I really want to see a former fling get matched up, because yes, there have to be people in this group that have, it's college. There have to be people that have hooked up with each other. People reference it in the bios. They're like, I hope I don't see whatever because I hooked up with them and it'll be weird or whatever. I don't know who's hooked up with who, but that's got to come into play, right?
Well, according to Siona's bio, it was like Ryan and Michelle. Like, she straight up exposed them. Like, girl, that's so mean.
Austin, this is what the fans want to hear about. Come on, spill the deets.
Yeah, I think, Austin, if it's not too late, let's pivot this into University of Maryland, Are You the One, season 1.
Yeah, from like 3 years ago. We want to know everybody's dirty secrets from when they were a sophomore in college.
There are some prior relationships, both just platonic and romantic, physical. I don't know what but if platonic doesn't necessarily mean, anyway. Some may become relevant, some will not. We're a week away. I am not tempted to give spoilers, so.
Okay.
Oh, come on. All right.
Who's the first boot? Just tell us the first boot and the winner, and then we can get out of here.
Well, so, Alex,
to the season.
Are there going to be any showmances?
There will be some potential.
Ooh.
I think it was Alex Pascal said in his bio, the way to win is to hook up with Senti. So find out who she hooked up with, and then you spoil the season. You have the boot list right there.
Was this a part of the show that Nicole hooked up with everybody on the jury her season? Did that make air?
There was the relationship that she had with Chris T and then also Steve. Those were the ones that were like featured. There was like some other stuff maybe with Chandler and Steve, but without airing all her dirty laundry. It was I think referenced, but not, you know.
I maintain that if Nicole, and I think I wrote this in the comment section like 7 years ago, but that she played a winning game if she could articulate exactly what she did, because it was so under the radar. But she was so responsible for so many different moving pieces. And then when she got to the end, she just couldn't explain how she did everything and that she did everything. But what I really liked seeing right off the bat is that she is aware of that. And I noticed a few people that listened to what I said in the comment section and seemed to have taken that to heart.
That's what they were thinking of at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to save my other one because it might affect my draft pickings, and I don't want anyone
to be clear. Season filmed during Second Chances. So you were just a random commenter at that point.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But they must've seen, you know, like he knows what he's talking about. I should listen.
Yeah, that was – so I think people between Adam's comments, of course, and then you and three got to watch their seasons. I think definitely people took a lot out of that.
What did they get to see before this aired? Did they get to see how season 4 played out before this filmed?
So nobody season. I mean, this started 3 months after season four. It was aired, but you know, a few people were on production from the season, and so I think a lot of the word trickled out, and people figured out as it went. Kind of, I wouldn't like explain the whole season and how people played, but I would give placements. I thought that was the only.
What seasons had aired when they were playing? Any?
Half of one and two and three. So everything except for four was aired.
Okay.
Because it struck me reading the bios, you hear a lot of references to season two players, a lot of stuff to season four. I think a lot of that is from the other season fourers, but maybe based on the stuff that you said too, and basically nothing about season three. So it's interesting to kind of match up who said what about who and try and like reverse engineer who must have heard what or who already knew each other coming into the game, that kind of thing.
Most of the season three discussion is about Faluke.
Right.
Yeah. So that gives me leads me to my next question. Of I guess you guys talked a lot about people that you were excited about seeing. So who do you wish that was there? I guess somebody can say Faluke right away.
I just did it. Yeah, Faluke. But also Sherry, I thought would have been great to bring back as well.
Yeah, she was stunning abroad. I talked about that in the casting Q&A. So
not an excuse.
I should have paid for a ticket to fly back every day.
Yeah.
And what about winners?
Yeah, Katie. I loved Katie.
Were winners not invited, or they just didn't want to play again, or?
So, season one's winner graduated. Season four's winner was studying abroad. Same thing. And then two was kind of satisfied and also wanted to stay on. Was fine staying on crew. And three considered it, but I wasn't like begging for them to come back. Even though I think that they're better than they showed. And I don't know why I'm not saying the names. We're doing spoilers here, but. At that point, I kind of more wanted to just go for the second chances theme. Go with that. So yeah,
can I ask quickly how you what went into the Paris twist as well, or is that something we're going to get to later?
Yeah, we can get to that right now. I think that's a good next thing to talk about. So I kind of had a general question about the different format stuff this season. I was going to do a video on it, but I decided just to talk about it a little bit here, get your guys' take. So everyone knows, obviously, we have men versus women, guys versus girls, tribes. And I've explained that a little bit in the stuff I've talked about before. A lot of it was splitting up pre-existing alliances. You guys mentioned the Soka Trio, plenty of other ones as well. Splitting up the season. So you've got 4-4-2 on the girls tribe, like for per season. And then you've got 4-3-2-1 on the guy side. So a pretty good split there. And then along with that, when I came up with those tribes, I was initially looking at heroes versus villains, and I kind of just scrapped that. It wasn't fitting right. So I did that, and then I immediately, like as soon as I thought of that format, had an epiphany about this pairs twist, because I was trying to get it so that, you know, the whole storyline of the season would not be guys versus girls, and that's where kind of the idea came from. So why not give – we already have this one-world format where people can talk to whoever they want, so why not exploit that, give people the chance to – have a connection for someone they may or may not know on the opposite tribe, you know, bring the two tribes together early on, make that cross tribal gameplay a real thing with real stakes. And it was an all-star cast, so I wanted to challenge them with something that was just a little extra something for their gameplay.
And so for people who don't know, if they're the last pair standing, they get, you said, up to two rounds of safety?
Yeah,
how does that work?
I explained this in episode one as best I can. It'll make sense as we go. Like the rules will kind of be laid out. I know it's a little complicated early on, so I've been trying to do some explanations in the video. But so everybody picks out of the bag. They're going to pick a name. All the girls will go and pick a name out of the bag. They have that information, which is like maybe unfair to the guys, you could say, but I just thought it played out more organically than just like texting people that they were secret partners. So we're looking for the last pair standing. So if somebody gets voted out of the pair and there's only one person left, that pair loses. We're looking for like the last two people.
Right.
Intact. That makes sense, I think. I wanted to, obviously, if that happened at the final four, that would be a little bit of an issue, right? So the full power, which is two full rounds of immunity for those two people, goes up until the final nine tribal. So if you win the twist at the final nine tribal, like if the last pair is eliminated there, you get two rounds of 8 or 7. And then from there, it starts diminishing every tribal.
Okay.
Can I ask? Yeah. What went into the girls get the power and then they get to choose whether to tell them? Was it just you had to pick one side and that's who you chose? Or did you think with this specific cast of girls, that made more sense than telling the guys?
Yeah, I really like the idea of like a like you know like the Sadie Hawkins dance or Sally Hawkins or something where the girls ask the guys.
Sadie, yeah.
So that was kind of like the idea of it, that they would like they get the information to start. It's their prerogative to do. I mean, there's so much power in it that there's obviously incentive to at least tell the person and explore the option. So I wasn't worried about like nobody would know and the twist would totally fail, right? But I thought it was just yeah, that was just the way I kind of chose that.
Just thinking about how you described that, I don't see any way that this twist is over by the final nine. Because if I'm someone that has a pair that gets voted out, like my pair gets voted out, I'm going to want to make sure that someone doesn't win this thing. That there's multiple pairs still in, right? You're going to be on the side of like wanting more pairs to stay in. I think, right?
To make the power less meaningful when someone finally gets it.
Right. So if and someone from every pair would have to be voted out. What, there's 20 players, right?
Right.
From every pair would have to be voted out. Almost every single tribal council in order for there to be just like one pair left at the final nine.
Right. I think what Adam's saying is horrible twist idea, Austin. Just scrap it now and edit it out of the show.
No, I think it adds a lot of interesting dynamics. I just think that you're going to I think it would be it crazy if you did have a pair that was just able to get rid of all the other pairs. I think that would be awesome to watch. I'm having a hard time imagining how that would happen so soon.
Because it seems, you're right, that by final nine seems extremely optimistic to get, with only 20 people, you'd have to cut down one, you'd only have a couple rounds where you wouldn't have to cut down someone from a unique pair. But I think, you know, final four having two pairs left there is also pretty unrealistic. So I feel like the true line is probably somewhere around like final six or final seven for where it's actually going to come into play.
And if the power evaporates at some point, like let's say you get to the final four or the final five, and if it happens it doesn't do anything, then there would be an incentive for those people who their pair has already been eliminated to try to keep pairs in the game and vote out the other like single people.
Austin, just end the suspense and tell us how it goes and when it when it's over.
The other things I'll throw in there is that, you know, some variables with it obviously are, one, not everybody knows. Like, the girls don't know all the pairs. Only everyone knows their individual pair. So how secret that information stays is obviously part of it.
Right.
The other thing is, so I explain this now, the girls, there was a rule I put in that the girls couldn't lie about. Like, they could lie about their partners to anybody, but they couldn't lie to a guy and like, say, I'm your partner when they weren't. So they couldn't just mislead every guy. So that I had, like, if this is, I had a piece of parchment, and they all had, so, like, if Hillary has me, then she would pick out Austin out of the thing. And I would send a screenshot of Austin with the name Hillary written on it. And that's like the proof she has to show to the guy to prove that there's a partnership. So I just want to put that out there for people preseason that that's like a fail safe to make sure that it's not just like Hillary going up to every single guy saying, I'm your partner, which.
But then if you're not allowed to lie about it, then surely you could just get someone and force them to like not, you could ask them, tell me who your partner isn't. And they can't do that. So they have to tell you who their partner is. So you'd be like, tell me that your partner isn't Austin. Tell me that your partner isn't Colin, and just go around until eventually they're able to actually say something.
I'm confused.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
I might just be misunderstanding this completely. But like, if
they're forced to answer all of your questions truthfully, then yes, that would be an issue. But they're not forced to do that.
You can lie. Like, Hillary can say that any one of you is her partner to anybody else.
Oh, okay.
Or to me. She just can't. She can't tell, hey Dom, you're my partner.
Right. She can just tell everyone you're not my partner, and no one will know who her partner is.
No, but if I then say to Hillary, okay, say, Austin, you're my partner, and then she has to either follow the rule or break the rule, and then either way, you get more information.
She can say whatever she wants to you.
Okay, fine.
It'll make sense. Don't worry about it.
So, I think this is just a good twist.
That would require Colin or Dom for her to have said, you're my partner, in order for you to verify it. So you wouldn't say that because you're not allowed to.
Right. What Dom is saying is, given the things she would not be allowed to say, put her in situations where the answer would be either the truth or something she's not allowed to say. So when she finally answers, you know the truth.
all you're
or if
able
you can't
to find
answer,
out
you then know that.
Not
yeah.
your partner.
Right. Again, Don, she's not forced to sit and answer all of your questions.
She should be. Well, anyway, but it's fine.
Maybe I don't understand.
It all makes sense. I'm not worried about it.
I'm just overthinking this, and this is a good twist just to give people an incentive to vote other people out. Like, I think that was the whole point of it.
And the fact that we're overthinking it is, I think, good for the show.
Yeah, this is a good metaphor for Survivor, where we're sitting here like massively overthinking everything, and it's the people who just sit back and accept what they're told that, you know, it tends to do better.
I think the part of it is overthinking. I mean, you have to balance, like, with what the pair switch was saying. You have to balance the pair, not being a pair. You have to balance your actual alliance. You have to balance your tribe dynamics. So it really was, the whole point was just to mix up the game, give more variables into it, and see what happens. I really like the twist. I think it's very fun how it plays out. Everybody takes a lot of different approaches. I think it'll be a fun strategic wrinkle. And that's all I will say on that front. So the last thing before we get to the draft is I wanted to do like a rapid fire round of just some thoughts about the different seasons as a whole. So we'll just go around each person. You can say, you know, your answer to the question and then a little reason why, but we can just rapid fire through all of them. That sound good?
Cool.
Yeah. So the first question I have, and this has always been a controversial topic. I've never really gotten a clear answer on it. Even when I did a poll, I think the numbers were a little skewed. So favorite season, Adam, we'll start with you.
My favorite season has got to be the first one I watched, Maryland Outback. Hooked me in.
Colin, Maryland Outback, right?
It definitely Maryland Outback. Easy number one for me. If I had to pick a number two, Guts and Glory was the first one that I watched. I actually watched them backwards at Austin's recommendation. And yeah, I mean, as soon as I watched the first premiere, I think I watched like three episodes in a row the first time I sat down to watch it. And I was hooked from there. And I loved the other season that I watched as well, Terrapin Trials.
Dom?
I would say Guts and Glory. I think it has this, the total package there is more than the other seasons. So Terrapin Trials has this incredibly dark ending that the season builds towards. And you can see like this, this story building up there. But Guts and Glory just, pillar to post, I think is just great. Is it TV? Is it, whatever you would want to call it.
It's great, yeah. YouTube.
It's great YouTube. It's amazingly fun to watch. Great casting. Great twist, and I think you can tell that how production values had improved between it and the previous season, and I have faith that season five, I guess, is going to be even better on that front too.
And has Alan, right?
Of course, Alan, who you asked before who we wanted to see back, who isn't, and you didn't ask me because you knew what I was going to say, but of course my boy Alan, who deserves to be the only three-time Survivor Maryland player.
Hillary.
Is it Shannon three-time?
No?
Oh, I mean, who was the other...
Nicola was the other return.
Oh, that's right. Okay, sorry.
Hillary.
Yeah, for me, Guts and Glory for sure. I think that was also the first one I watched. So after, based on production value, like, when I went backwards, I'm like, oh, okay, I like the first one better. But also, Terrapin Trials just made me super angry because there was so much negativity in it. So I, like, hated everyone. Whereas in Guts and Glory, everyone was super likable and they all played, like, relatively well. Outback, that was season two. That one's really good too. But Guts and Glory was by far my favorite.
Yeah, Austin, yeah. Quick sidebar. This sometimes happens when we play Secret Hitler. Your mic is getting a lot of static. Can you do whatever you do to fix that? I probably should have said that about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, I will work on that in the meantime.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think Micah also texted me that. So shout out to
Micah on the mic.
Micah, who I apparently friended me on Facebook at some point. And while I was doing my research, it said, respond to friend request. And I said, okay. So now I'm friends with Micah. Nice. I'm part of the So Cool trio.
Nice.
Never heard that one, actually. So, all right, favorite moment. We'll go reverse order. So, like, favorite moment from any of the seasons. I'm going to try to fix my mic.
Okay. For me, again, this would be a season four. What?
Wait, no, you go first, because then I don't know. I don't know my
favorite. Go.
Oh, reverse order from... I'm sorry, I thought you meant reverse order. I'm looking left to right on the YouTube thing. I'm an idiot. I would say the Soka trio coming back and almost rallying and just getting a bad rock draw to prevent them from really overcoming, I thought was a ton of fun watching that all go down.
Was I nice? Or I
just go.
So Adam, you can take it.
I'm still thinking for mine. That's why. So yeah, you guys go ahead.
Adam.
How total casual, but who went home when Senti switched her vote and nobody knew? And Lecomte was there, and
Yeah.
Whoa, that was like, that was wild. That was wild.
That's a classic. It's a classic. That's the early front runner in the best tribals poll I've done.
Yeah, that was a good
number two though.
I always love the hang on a pole endurance challenge. The times that I've seen that, that's been a lot of fun.
Epic,
too.
Epic. Yeah.
Is my mic a little better, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
I don't know what my favorite like moment was, but I remember in season two there was a lot of moments when Lecomte did like really outrageous things. I remember one tribal council when he said something about his dog dying, and like he didn't actually have a dog, nor did it die. And I just think like his outrageous like manipulative ways is just so funny. So probably something along to like Lecomte's moves. I just thought he was like so good at the game.
I was gonna say Feluke stealing Zach's idol or trying to and then not even doing it. But to me that's just like the level of the audacity that you need to do that. And then the fact that you were able to like get part of that on film as well was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think it's remarkable how much you get on film. And I know I've said this to you off air before, but like the fact that you have people filming themselves when they're in the cafeteria talking strategy, like there's no way to put on a show like this without that sort of footage. And it's incredible that you are able to work all that in.
Well, that's what I mean, Maryland Outback, I always say probably would have been the best season if I had had all the footage and like the editing wherewithal. But I didn't really evolve to like having people do that yet. So every piece of footage you see in Maryland Outback is literally all me sitting there with a phone or a computer, which is crazy. But it wasn't really, you know, Terrapin Trials, a little bit of that. And then that's why part of why Guts and Glory was so good and why All-Stars will be so good. It's just the amount of footage really just escalated, I think.
Try being a little more dedicated next time, Austin.
People have gotten so good with challenges and with production and everything since I'm kind of like, oh, damn, like I could have done so much better now. But hindsight is 22.
I guess we need a season six, buddy. I know someone else is taking over as the host after you, but I think you need to go back and right all these wrongs and correct all of the mistakes. You know, one mistake can haunt you forever, Austin. So I think
this needs a
resolution. Yeah.
Sitting on Ghost Island for 10 years. Now I'm matured.
Yeah.
We'll do it in Lake Tahoe.
That's right. That sounds
like from Maryland, Lake Tahoe.
I'm not sure it's the same state, but I'll go for that. All right, so next question was favorite player ever.
Oh.
Mine's Katie, like, hands down. I just love her. I thought she was such, like, such a deserving winner, like, of the past four seasons that I've all watched. Like, she was the one I was, like, the most happy about. And also, she gave me a shout-out on your, like, little thing at the end or something. I don't know, I thought that was really cute. So I'm like, oh, I like her even more now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I really liked, obviously, the two we mentioned as the big snubs were people we really liked, and for me, Feluke and Sherry. But, out of the people, I think you got an incredible cast here from the first three or four seasons you had to choose from. And I guess the metric I'll use is, like, when I watched that first 8 minutes, the people I was, like, most excited to see again. And, I had, like, these nostalgic memories of watching so many of these people the first time, and it was exciting to watch them come back. But the people I would say that really stood out were probably Shannon and Victoria for me. I'm really, really interested to see particularly just how they fare now that they are more known quantities the second time around.
Yeah, so for me...
Go.
No, you go. I insist.
I'm not going to, because I think the person I want to say I want to pick in my thing, and I don't want you all to know. So how about that?
Well, I'm not going either. So we're drawing rocks, Adam.
Okay, my favorite of all time is Brandon.
Okay.
I ironically do like Brandon. I thought he was pretty entertaining, especially for how much people hated him. Like that's somehow the guy just, I don't know. But I like the Soka trio.
I don't hate him for the record. I just thought that would be the popular choice for that.
Sure. But I like the Soka trio. I love Crystal Comp. I like Chris Thomas a lot. I don't know if I would like him in real life, but as a character, he was so entertaining. I would say Victoria, though, as well. Like, I thought her journey, and not just being screwed over by the end and by Fluke in such a dark way, but I thought her journey over the course of the season was really fun to watch.
All good answers. I don't know. Nobody said Carla from Outback.
Yeah, actually, one person that I should bring up, because I was stoked to see him again. I don't want to end this conversation without saying I was also really excited to see Alex back. I thought he had a really fun run his first time, and I'm really excited to see him the second time around too.
Alex? Which one's that?
He went super deep in, which season was it?
He was the David Wright of Gods and Glory.
Right. Yeah.
Are there like two Alexes?
I don't know about that. All right.
There are two Alexes. There's the Terrapin Trials one who got out at the merge, and then there's Alex from Guts and Glory who was like Machiavelli coach.
The
parkour guy.
Killed the social game.
Yes, that's right. I can't tell if Adam's playing dumb because that's the one he wants to pick, or if that's...
No, I just think that Alex, he had some things to learn in that season for sure.
What player would you work with and absolutely not work with?
Wow, these are tough questions.
I also don't want to expose like who I want right now.
No, you can just because you want to work with them.
I think Sierra seems like a solid ally.
I like Siona. I thought she's super loyal, and I think personality wise it'd be really fun to work with her.
The thing that I would worry about with some of the people who played loyal games is if it didn't work out for them because maybe they were too loyal, maybe they're going to want to switch that up. And then the ones who people don't want to work with because they were mischievous and backstabbers, like they might not have a whole lot of options for real allies. So you may be able to be closer to the top of their list in terms of who they need to be loyal to because they don't have other options. So someone like Chris Lacombe, although he's also talking all over the place, but like who's someone that's like sort of known to be sneaky? That's maybe someone I would want to work with.
Yeah, you saw, who was it? I think it was Shannon saying in her bio that she tried playing this loyal game last time and it didn't work. And now she's going to trade on that reputation and be a lot more cutthroat. I think you're going to see a lot of people have that same mentality. So I wouldn't read too much into how they played their first time around because everyone's looking to change it up and do something new.
So someone like Shannon, I think a lot of the cast is going to want to play with. We have the benefit of hearing from her that she's not going to play like that. But I think if I were out there, I probably would be tempted to.
Did everybody give their answer?
I think so. I don't know if I said anyone I wouldn't want to work with. Again, not having seen his initial run, I would have concerns about Chris Lecompte.
Just a few. I didn't give an answer either. I might say Victoria again, just because I think those like hyper-rational players... at least you know where you stand with them, and you can like you're never just completely out for the count. You can always make your case to them, and they'll entertain it. And even if they don't go through with it, you at least feel like you had your say. For people that I wouldn't want to work with, I don't know. I guess someone who was so well connected that they had all these other options to choose from. So I might prefer to work with the people who, like Rebecca, who went home first, maybe doesn't know as many people in the cast. That's maybe a better choice than. I don't know who would be the opposite of that, but someone who just knows everyone, has all these friends, and I'm just like another vote in a list of 10 different people.
I think I would want to work with like the Soka trio. One, because they seem like people I would want to be friends with, and then two, what a great like shield in front of you to have a whole kind of group that is going to be targeted probably before you. So. I don't mind having like big, large groups of people from different seasons because that may be a reason that someone else would want them gone instead of you.
I think for mine, who I wouldn't want to work with would be Chris Thomas, just because I was recently watching his season and I like hated him. Like, he was just so obnoxious. Like, he is a great character and he would be a great shield, but like, I just could not deal with him.
Then put Chris Thomas in my list of people that I would want to work with as well.
All right.
Exactly that reason.
Actually, I would say the one I wouldn't want to work with might be Jordan, or are we calling him Jordan or Shoeball, or what's he going by? What's
he's going to probably go mostly by Shoeball.
Shoeball, okay. Shoeball. I might say Shoeball because he's just this unknown quantity, right? Like, if is La Plata even on YouTube? Like, can people go back if they were doing their homework and watch him do his thing?
And he found a bunch of idols, right?
Yeah, so there's 9 episodes. There was a little bit of, like, he definitely was in those. I mean, he was a big character, but I mean, I don't know how many people actually watched those. So I put together, when I was doing the All-Stars preseason stuff with them, like trying to get them hyped, I put together kind of some clips of best moments. There was a Shoeball clip featured in there where he had a fake idol and stuff. So they like maybe know a little bit about his kind of gameplay, but I don't think people were, I think people were, had so many thoughts on so many different things, and I think mostly he was an unknown.
Yeah. So all I know is he's a mastermind, and I don't even know how he's a mastermind, but he'll definitely screw me over at some point. Yeah.
I'm down to get him out too. Me and Dom.
So by the same token, if everyone thinks that way, maybe you buddy up with him and I don't know, maybe we turn on Adam together and blind side him.
No, don't do that. He's only one person. What is aligning with him going to get you? I have the whole Soka trio with me.
That's fair.
Come on. You need numbers.
All right, I got 2 rapid fire questions left, then we'll get to the draft. So the first question is, what place would you have gotten if you did this in college?
Last.
I would be Rebecca. Yeah. And then I just go back to my humdrum college existence.
Well, you guys, why would you guys say you were last? I would think, I'd straight up win. Like, I'm so competitive. I don't know. I think also gossiping is like a really big like way for you to get a lot of information. And I in high school, I was like the gossip queen. So I feel like I would just do so well based on just like me talking.
And you love Big Brother, you say. That's,
yeah.
That's a wild coincidence.
I'm sorry.
Well, every time I played Survivor the Drinking Game in college, I either won or was voted out first. Because if people were like, it's funny because like he wants to play, and then they'll vote me out first. And if they don't, then, you know, it's flip cup. You can't beat me. The king stays king.
Adios.
Have you Flip Cup Survivor the Drinking Game, by the way?
We haven't played it. There were some intense games before All-Star.
It came up in the bios.
I think it was Holly.
Someone said it was Holly.
I saw that in the bios. Yeah.
Holly said that Chris T voted her out during Survivor, and she wasn't going to, during Survivor Flip Cup, and she wasn't going to forget that. Let's see.
Yeah, I think you got it.
Let's get the receipts. Yeah, is that right? Also, at the Survivor party, Chris Thomas. He asked me to be in Alliance, but when I watched the season, I kind of hated him because he's such an asshole. I also don't know if I can actually trust him because he just comes off as deceitful sometimes. Also, at the Survivor party, he voted me off of Flip Cup team when we had an Alliance, so not off to a good start. That is awesome.
Yeah, there were some good preseason Flip Cup games, like at the Guts and Glory party. That was a little.
I hope you were filming.
What?
I hope you were filming.
No, I was not filming that.
Flashback.
Some footage. There was a preseason party that the day before All Stars, Siona hosted people over at her house. Oh no, maybe Chris Lecomte hosted people over at his house just for a casual.
Easy to get the two of them mixed up. You know,
all the Survivor people were invited to.
Wow. That's awesome. And did you film? You should have filmed.
Yeah, there's a little bit of footage from that. No, I said it was Siona's party because I remember Siona had been enjoying herself.
Is anyone in this cast of age? Are we just like throwing everyone under the bus?
Most people in All Stars were of age at that point. They were there mostly. Yeah.
That's a big move to the day before the game starts. Just be like, I mean, I gotta say though, if you're someone like Chris Lecomte and you have a big target on your back already, you might as well, you gotta go full out. Like, you might as well. because people are going to be coming for you anyway, so you need to rally some troops.
All right, so last question I have. If I was on this season, let's say you replaced me with your least favorite guy in the cast, how would I have done?
Last. It's like, no, it's like there's a reason Jeff Probst would never attempt playing any kind of Survivor game. It would be hysterical to vote the host out first.
Not first. You'd feel bad if you did it first. See, it's kind of like what everyone's saying. Like if they want to backstab somebody, they're not going to vote them out first. There's no joy in that. If they want to really get someone good, then they're going to string them along, pretend to be best buds. And then when they think they're good and when they think they're out of the woods, then you get them. That's how it would be fun to take Austin down.
I feel like it is worse to just languish in obscurity than to go out first, though. Like you would rather be the Rebecca than the Xandria. And so for Austin, I would want to vote him out first, but I might string him along and then just cut him pre-merge and then have him annoy the actual host.
Yeah, I think you'd either be first or last, just because Gyra, he's the host of Canada, and he did a Survivor-themed birthday party, and I know a lot of people ended up stringing him along to make him win because they wanted him to win his birthday party.
I don't think people would let me do that.
Yeah, and they'd probably get you out pre-merge because, yeah, that would be like the most like,
not like a pre-merge Rob Gattis.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the conclusion here is Austin, definitely don't play Survivor Maryland and certainly don't play it with Adam if that's his game plan.
No, I'm the one that's going to take you the farthest out of anybody. You're all talking about voting him out pre-merge. That's ridiculous. That's not nice. That's not fair. Austin's someone that I can work with. I want to bring him along. Can I beat him in his own game? No. So he's going to have to go somewhere around like, you know, 5 or 6 probably.
Hannah's gonna save me.
But even if Hannah's not gonna be there to save you, and even if I'm telling him right now that I'm gonna vote him out at 5 or 6, he has to align with me because all you losers want to vote him out. He has to stick with me.
It's airtight.
I'm the only one willing to take him to 5, and then he can win immunity. Hopefully, you know, for his own sake.
Right.
So at least he has a shot that way.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
But who do you want to align with now, Austin? After all that,
I don't know. I was told that I didn't do anything in Durham for aligning with you, so I might have to. I might have to rethink it just for the sake of breaking.
But this time, no. But this time, it's switched because
I know it's me. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I did get a point of clarification from a reliable source saying that Chris Thomas voted Holly out at the final 3 and had a final 2 deal with Nicole Locke from season 2.
Say that again.
It's really not important, but from a source, I heard that Chris Thomas voted Holly out at final 3 of Survivor Flip.
Oh, this is the drinking game.
No. voted Holly out at final 3 of Flip Cup because he had a final 2 deal with Nicole L from season 2.
That's the Nicole, right?
Blonde Nicole.
Different Nicole.
Tiny blonde.
Tiny blonde, yeah. Athletic. All right, enough of that. So we're going to move on to the fantasy draft, the moment we've all been waiting for. I thought it would be fun if these four took their shot at predicting the All-Star season.
What are we going for? Do we need only the winner, or do we get points for how far they go?
Yeah, so my thought was only the winner, but if you guys want to change it up.
Only the winner sounds good.
Yeah, don't make it complicated.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, so we're looking for only the winner. We're going to go in a snake format. I'm going to randomize it in a second. If anybody from who's in the comment section wants to, like, jot it down, otherwise I'll, you know, review it after. But jot down the teams, that would be – I'll try to jot them down too, actually. There's no reason I can't. So,
if any players that won want to message me a spoiler right now, you know, please don't. Don't do that.
All right, we're going to random.
My only goal as this order is being randomized is that Adam is the last pick, and the person he's been, like, being coy about all day isn't there for him to take.
Also, I forgot what I was going to say. That's my memory.
All right, we are going. This is fully randomized.
Okay.
There's no funny business here. No production interference. Oh boy. The order is.
Oh boy.
We're doing snake format. Number 1 pick is Colin. two pick is Dom. Number three is Hillary. Number four is Adam. So we're going to go. We're going to go through the draft. You guys can give your picks, give an explanation for it. You guys can feel free to debate back and forth with it. I will obviously not chime in. And we'll see where it goes from there. We'll see. I will say that I gave some things to try to predict the season, and I had no idea I had bet anything. So who knows? But let's just throw some darts at the wall and see. And Colin, you're on the clock whenever you're ready.
All right. So Austin, as I was watching these first couple of seasons and knowing that All-Stars was going to be on the horizon, I guess this was about a year and a half ago. But I remember when I heard who from the seasons I had seen was going to be back for All-Stars. For whatever reason, a winner pick jumped out at the front of my mind. I think I'm going to stick with that. And there's bonus value here in that I do think there is a chance this could be the person Adam wants, just given how he's been talking about the Soka trio. I will take Micah, number one overall, with the first pick in the draft.
You got it! You got my person!
Yes!
And if Colin didn't take him, I was going to. So you just snipe both of us at the same time. So good job.
No, this is. Can I just quit and have Micah be my only team? I feel like I've already won the draft.
Micah versus the field.
Yeah.
Can you explain your rationale for Micah, and then everybody else can explain their rationale as well?
Sure. So I feel like Micah is going to be viewed as the least threatening member of the Soka trio. I think Evan's going to be a bigger target in front of him on the guys' team if they are an issue. And I think if he links back up with Shannon, she's proven to be formidable enough. But I feel like Micah could do a good job laying low for a while and then potentially winning some end game challenges or just being good enough socially to get into the end game in a winning and a reasonable chance of winning. So it seems like from the reactions I got that people don't hate this Micah pick at number one overall.
I hate it, but it's the right pick, I think.
Yeah, is it a good pick? Did I get it right? Did he win, Austin?
I have no comments. Adam, was it the same reasons?
No comment.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
Colin summed it up better than I was about to. So yeah, that's. Yeah, I'm going to need a second to pick someone else here, but feel free to continue rambling.
No, put a timer on him.
Hillary, do you have any thoughts on the pick, Hillary?
Micah's a good pick just because, like, I think, like, coming from playing from a fan-made Survivor, I know the people that go far are a little more involved when it comes to, like, watching, like, who's, like, just basically, like, if you go far in the game, you're going to be really more invested into the season. So I know in my season, like, Tyler was, like, always commenting on the videos. And, like, spoiler alert, he won. So I think a lot of people know who gets really far in the game based on which players comment the most. And I think Micah's in this right now. Like, he's in the chat. And
he was in the chat. Yeah.
I like playing the metagame. I will say don't read into the metagame.
Okay. Good.
I found with doing my seasons, people are all over the place with, like, whether they watch or comment if they do well. I mean, sure, I think that the trend you're talking about is a valid thing. But I for some reason, like, people who have made the finals have never watched a second of their season. Like, it just goes all over the place. So.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, a good quarter of the cast either is in here already or probably will watch at some point, which makes it harder to pick because you know that doing this in a vacuum.
How do you know that?
They type in the chat.
Where is this chat?
If you open YouTube,
if you go to the actual broadcast and go in the chat.
You guys are all smarter than I am. Yeah.
I don't know if it does.
Adam's never had internet commenters write about him before. So this is a real experience he's got to soak up while it lasts.
Is half of it hate towards me? It typically is.
I would say well over half at this point.
Well over half. No, I'm in a good. My people are here.
All right.
Okay. All right. Who has the next pick, Dom?
Micah is off.
I do. Yeah. So I will stay with the Soka trio. I think I'll go with Shannon, who I think
that
she
was my first pick.
No! No!
Good work, team. We've done it. All right. So. I'm picking Shannon because I think she clearly has a strong desire to win. And from her bio, I think she acknowledges what makes her well-positioned to win, which is she comes in with this reputation for being a strong player, so someone you want to have on your team, but also being loyal. So I don't think people will maybe anticipate she'll be one or two steps ahead of them, be looking to turn on them before they turn on her. And just in terms of like social ability, athletics, I think she's got everything you need to do well, but maybe didn't put it all together last time. And I think she's got a better chance of doing that this time around.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I was going to choose her. She's like, in her bio too, she's the only one who's like, I'm going to win. Like, she had like this very definitive statement saying, I'm going to win. And I really like that. And just in her season, she was like an all around really good player. And just, I don't know, I thought like she was on my top choice and now I got to choose someone else. So yeah.
Well, we know whoever you pick is going to be Adam's pick.
I pretended that Maiko was my top pick, but it was actually Shannon. So
wait, was it actually?
I didn't get the big reveal of like, haha, gotcha, because it's actually, because then you actually went and did pick. Yeah, I was like, oh no, you picked Maiko. But like, I mean, I'm sure Maiko will do well. But no, I think that Shannon is a better pick than Maiko here, because I think that a lot of people are going to think the way that Colin thinks about Maiko as a reason. Like, the fact that he was the least threatening of the three would be a reason to get rid of him and maybe keep someone like Evan and someone like Shannon as a shield. And I just thought Shannon was like, yeah, seemed the most folk. I liked her content in like the first 8 minutes. I liked that she understood how people saw her last time and how she's going to use that to her advantage this time. And I'm very very disappointed.
I remember Austin asking you about the Guts and Glory intro sequence where everyone is doing something like in a Survivor Maryland attire, yeah, and then Shannon's like in a bikini taking shots, and you were like, oh yeah, I just thought that was a great clip, and I told her as soon as she did it, that's going to be your intro. It took you like 3 minutes to work that back into this new season. It's in the first 8 minutes that clip again.
That's one thing I will say I love about Survivor Maryland is that you don't have to give any respect to people in their intros. So on real Survivor, you see people like swimming gracefully through the water or like leaping at something in a graceful way, and you just have people scratching themselves, falling off logs. It's a real mess.
I have no comment on that one, but yes, I don't have beautiful epic scenes of everybody, so yeah.
Okay, Hillary, I think you're up.
All right, yeah, so I'm next. Hillary, you are up.
Okay, and so this person, they weren't really mentioned like throughout this live stream, but I'm choosing Holly.
Okay.
And Holly is my choice, I guess, right for now. Just because, like, with her, like, she played like a really solid game. I think she got like fourth place in her season. And like, I think she was pretty like low key in her season in the beginning. And like, I didn't really see much of her. And because I didn't want to choose like a super, super strong person, but overall she was like pretty good in comms and she had a pretty decent social game. And I know she was on this other thing, like Sequester or something like that, and she won that. Like, it was like some other like online internet game. So I think that she will go pretty far and hopefully she'll win.
Yeah, good pick.
Yeah, she did win Sequester. Holly, I talked about this in the casting thing, but she was somebody that I, like, some people really loved her in her season, some people didn't, like, she kind of fell off the radar. But I think she would have been a much bigger presence in Terrapin Trials if I just couldn't get around to doing confessionals with her a couple times. And, like, it was, you know, again, kind of the footage bias thing. But, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Adam, there's still time. If you want to lie again, you can claim that neither Maiko nor Shannon was your pick.
And that would have been awesome. I do. When I was at the, I still have my pick on the board for who is your favorite player. It's not necessarily the person that I would, that would be like necessarily my best friend, because I already negged his social game. But I think that it was a ton of fun to watch Alex go from I forget if I commented on YouTube on his season or not, but if I did, it would have been like, this guy has no idea what he's doing. He does not understand what the game is about. Like, he thinks it's all numbers and strategy and whatever. And the fact that I watched the first 8 minutes of this season and he's already like, yeah, I totally didn't get it last time. Like, now I realize you actually need like relationships and that it's not just like a chess game. And so I don't actually think that he's going to win, but I really would like to see that story come all the way to fruition. the Spencer that we, you know, like that we never got talking about, oh, I need to actually like play a social game and then doing it and winning the game. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Isn't that isn't that the Adam Klein story of Millennials versus Gen X?
Well, no, I never claimed to like not have a social game or whatever. This is Alex's claim is that he completely neglected that part of the experience last time. So I think hopefully people will underestimate him. I think there's a chance that he just doesn't have a good enough relationships with the cast and they'll vote him out early. So this could be a real big bust. But I just think it'd be a lot of fun. Basically, what I'm looking for is someone that knows why they messed up last time and is ready to fix that. And that's why my next pick is Nicole. I think, like I said before, she played a winning game. She has one aspect of it that she needs to fix, and that's her ability to articulate and show people what she's done. And I hope that people will continue to underestimate her, and that she can make her way, or at least make out her way all the way to the top.
Low blow.
It's in her bio. I want to see some showmances. Let's make this fun. Let's have this be like the craziest people at the end. Like Alex playing chess and checkers, and now he's playing chess, and Nicole doing the same thing, but getting to the end and being like, here's what I did, and I screwed all of you, and I'm the winner. That would be awesome.
Any more thoughts on Nicole, Colin?
So she was, I'm correct that I have not seen her season.
Correct.
Yeah. And she got to the end and did not do a good job in Final Tribal Council.
Terrible.
And so you're not worried about that, Adam, that made cap her upside?
I think a lot of people will think that she is someone that you could bring to the end again. Okay. And I think she has the advantage of having history to point back to, kind of, even if she sucks again at Final Tribal Council, she can be like, yeah, I know I'm not doing great, but like, remember last time I actually did do great. I just couldn't say it. So maybe you'll believe me this time.
Mm-hmm. I always thought
it worked for Amanda Kimmel and Russell Hant. So yeah. That's good there.
No, I just think it'd be fun. It's probably not super likely, but I think it would be so much fun to watch. And, you know, Austin talks about himself and his own seasons like they're a gift from God. So hopefully the season's as great as he thinks it's going to be. Totally kidding, Austin. You're great. And your seasons are a gift from God.
I will say, when Austin said in the intro he didn't want to overhype it too much, he released that hype video like a good 18 months ago now, which really helped to build excitement, and it's only been building since then. And now the season can't possibly meet the expectations that we've all concocted for it.
Well, it's can't be like the Dom versus Chris thing. It can't, you know, live up to the hype.
Who's the Wendell in this scenario? Who's just going to tell you you're trash at hosting? You can't host. Put the whatever it would be down. Yeah. Okay. Good.
You're trash, Austin, at hosting. at hosting. You're not trash in general.
You have no sound bites.
You have no HD. Yeah. I guess it's. It is totally possible that I just picked two people that are completely DOA, but hopefully not.
Good start.
Thank you.
All right. Hillary.
If it's anything like my Ghost Island boot list, it will be horrendous.
Oh, wait. Who did Adam choose? Nicole and who?
Alex Pascal. Alex P.
Yeah, I don't think those are very good choices. I was like, seriously?
Shannon was already off the board. I wanted Shannon.
Yeah. Nicole, I can kind of see your rationale for that, like, because she's a bit more self-aware, but I still don't think she'll get far. Okay, I'm going to choose...
Alex was loyal, right, at least? Was he as loyal.
Yeah,
I think.
He was like had a little bit of honor and integrity coach.
Yes, people want to work with that.
Okay, I'm going to choose Evan. Yeah, I'm going to choose Evan. Yeah, they're the last Soka Trio member. Like, he was a very good player, like, overall and everything. Like, he was almost, like, my winner choice for that season as well. But then I'm a little worried just because he was a pretty big player his season. I think he'll be a big target as well for this season, but I feel like he has a lot of connections and he should go far.
All right, back on me.
Yeah.
I just realized I'm getting screwed in this snake thing, aren't I? I'm going to get last pick, right?
Oh, yeah, there are 20 instead of 16.
That is how snake format works, but I mean, it's designed to be as like equitable as possible, I guess.
Right, yeah. The way it should be me getting the last pick is the point, where Adam's getting the last first round pick and the default pick.
You guys can pick other people.
Format.
What we should do is the first four rounds will be snake, and then the last one we'll just repeat that same order. So I go that would probably be a better fix, like a more fair way of doing it.
Yeah,
I
think that would be a much more fair way of doing it. And I say that as the person who's going to get screwed by this being the new rule.
Look at you, Colin. So generous.
Yeah.
Such a generous guy.
Yeah. All right.
I should pick someone right about now. So my big dilemma here is, do I pick the people who stand out and who are big players on their seasons and who, like, that's going to be recognized if they come back? Or do I go for the people who maybe can fly under the radar, but I don't know how well they know all these people. So maybe they're easy targets if you're looking for something like that. So I've got a big threat in Shannon, and I don't know if I want to double down or if I want to pick someone who's going with something a bit different. I think what I'll do is I'll continue in the same vein. I'm actually going to go with Chris Acompte. I don't think he can win. I think he's going to be a big target, but he's a big target for a reason. He's got the skills, it seems like people actually do want to work with him. You read the bios, and some of it's I want to get out of Chris Acompte, but some of it's I really want to work with Chris Acompte, and I think it's if he can navigate those early parts of the game, I think he might have a shot. So for rooting ability, if nothing else, I'm going to go with him.
That's the thing, is I think for root ability, like Chris Acompte was going to be in my next set of picks just because I really want him on my team as I'm watching this season. Like, if he does pull it off, I want that to be my victory, despite never having seen his first season and feeling like just because of his reputation, he's probably got maybe the most uphill battle out of the entire cast. But yeah, I think Chris, a worthwhile addition to anyone's fantasy team. All right. And incidentally, Evan was going to be another one of the people I was going to be thinking about picking here on the corner. But okay. with those two off the board, I think let's go with my first pick, another person that I haven't actually seen his original season, but who really I thought looked like a lot of fun in just like the sizzle reel I got to see of him. Let's go with Schubel. Am I saying that correctly? I feel like that could be a lot of fun. I don't know how he's going to be perceived. Am I right that he's the only person in the cast from season one, Austin is nodding along, where I think that could be a tremendous benefit, not having a notable history with anyone. He may be off on a slightly worse foot early on, having to build those bonds in the first place, but I don't know who's going to be like ruling out working with him or trusting him down the line.
Yeah, so the background on Schubel, for anyone who has not heard, since I provided this in some different forms, but, I mean, Schubel was a huge, huge player on season one. Back, you know, before the footage was there and it was airing. But, I mean, he was, like, very, like, kind of played an Evan-esque game in the pre-merge. Had some idols, controlled a lot of the votes, and then really emerged as this huge target at the merge. But then he won five straight immunities. Six total, and made it to Final Four, but he lost the Final Four, kind of got backstabbed. So Schubel was someone I was really excited to bring back just from like a personality and character standpoint, just a big player who at least I have someone representing season one who also is, you know, definitely deserving of being there.
Okay, and if you ever decide to unearth those seasons again, I would love to watch his first time around. With my other pick, this was the pick that was going to be used on Chris Acompte. I'm going to spend it in a similar way. I'm going to go for rootability here. Give me Victoria. I'd love to have Victoria on my team. I have some concerns given just how her first season went, given that people who are going to be playing against her got to see that. But I really loved the approach Victoria brought the first time around. I expect her to be a rational and talented Survivor player overall. So I'm happy to have Victoria come aboard my team. And hopefully that was an additional bonus of sniping Dom's next pick.
It wasn't, but I'll start mine by asking, Austin, what was the unedited word count on Victoria's bio?
I actually...
That was a long bio.
I don't know if this was intentional, but I love the contrast with Sabrina's, which was one line answer to everything, and then Victoria spills off the screen.
Perfect.
It wasn't... I don't know if I had them right next to each other initially or not. I think I moved it so that they would both fit on the same screen, which then accomplished this goal also for humor value. So I had to have somebody with a really short bio to fit it. It was long. It was very long. Lots of essays.
All right. So for my pick, I have this might actually be just a terrible pick and low key, and I just don't realize it. But I think I'm going to go with Ryan Crowder, because I think he is someone who played pretty hard in his season. But I think in terms of everyone from that season, he's maybe the least memorable or the least perceived as some big threat. So you read the bios, everyone's name checking Chris Thomas, Chris LeCompte, like Siona and other people, and maybe Ryan, because he's tied to Siona, is going to be seen as an issue.
Yeah, player. He's the one that is friends with Siona, right?
Yeah. And apparently he'll die with Michelle, so he's got that tie in as well. If you believe the bios. So I don't know. I think maybe he's going to be seen as too shifty or whatever. He's not that well connected, but I think he's got some talent, and he can fly under the radar for a bit and go after some of the bigger players.
I think also, I remember being mean to him in YouTube comments.
That sounds like something you would do. And we have a legend in the building here, so shout out to Victoria, who's just joined the chat.
Oh, what up?
Yeah.
She can probably answer. What was the unedited word count on your file?
I saw her, actually, and she was like, good edits, yeah. I was going to say, it is funny. Ryan is like the forgotten person of Outback. And just in my mind too, in a lot of people's minds, just like going into the season. And I, this isn't like not talking about the cast at all, but it's funny, like when we were watching the season, I expected Ryan to be this huge character in Outback, and like he was present the whole time, just like not really controlling the votes.
I kind of remember him being really confident.
Yeah.
Is that right?
And
thinking he has no idea what he's doing. And then without the self-realization that we got from Alex, which made him my, you know, all you have to do is recognize that the game is social, and then you'll become my first round draft pick.
It's all it takes.
It's all it takes with me.
Yeah, I think Ryan actually would have been like, I think he would have been in control in that season. It's just that Chris LeCompte and Steve just kept flipping it on him. Every time was like a new blindside to him. Yeah. All right. So Hillary,
he's a very nice person.
Very nice. Very fun.
Yeah. I think that was an interesting pick, like, because I was thinking of Ryan or Siona as well, so which is why I'm going to pick Siona at this point. And I think of the pairing, I thought Siona was way better, like, had a way better social game, and I think she would go farther than Ryan. I can see why Ryan, though, just because he's so much more under the radar. But, yeah, in terms of, like, who has a better social game, I'm choosing Siona for that.
Can I say quickly on Ryan, too? When I was watching Outback for the first time, I was so confused because you had the other Brandon there who looks exactly like Ryan and never said anything or had any confessionals. So when people were talking about Brandon, then it would cut to what I thought was Ryan. I got so confused, and that only resolved itself after Brandon was voted out in a way that I still don't fully understand properly.
Yeah, it's a common problem on The Genius too.
That's you being racist, bro. Is this actually a case of mistaken identity?
All I'm saying is that Genius 1, I was ready for one of Sung Yu or Chang Yap to be gone episode 1, just because they looked so similar.
And if you don't know what that means, then correct that as soon as possible. You can find the link on Colin's Twitter page. Yeah.
I would love to jump into this Genius discussion, but I am now in a real world of hurt trying to figure out what the hell I'm going to do next.
Okay.
Was Ryan going to be your next pick, or Siona?
Siona.
Well, so on that note, we haven't talked much about Siona tonight, but she's one of the biggest personalities in terms of people remembering from the season. So are you, well,
oh, yeah.
Besides Colin, are you guys all pro Siona? Are you anti Siona? Or yeah,
I'm pro her being on the season because she's amazingly entertaining. But I don't know if I don't think she's going to go down well with half the cast.
Siona was another one who I had not seen her original season, obviously, but in that first the preview stuff I've gotten to see, she really stood out as someone that I'm going to be really interested to watch, see how this goes for her.
Siona has that Sandra Diaz Twine upside, where like you think, oh, I could go to the end with her, like, because she kind of rubs some people the wrong way, but I think people respect someone like that at the end, who has not, you know, they have, they tell like it is, and she's not going to let anyone, you know, walk all over her and pull, you know, she's going to pull out every punch. So yeah, I definitely think someone like Siona could win the game for sure.
I agree. I'm like,
why I need to figure out something else.
Yeah, I'm super pro Siona. I think she, like, just her as a person, she was super PC in her season, and it was like really funny when she had that little speech against like Sleazeman and LeCompte or whatever, and I just thought she was like so funny. I know her and Chris Thompson or whatever, they didn't like each other at the beginning, but then they kind of had a little alliance, so the fact that they could really work together despite their like different personalities, I feel like that really shows that she has a lot, like a good social game, basically enough to even like get someone like Chris Thomas to be on her side.
All right, Adam, your pick.
Okay,
the world of hurt.
I'm at this point, I gotta ask some questions because the casual in me is like who is Alex G? Why don't I remember him?
So he was on the side with, so there were in Terrapin Trials, there was the home wreckers, like the Eric on his tribe, Rafiki tribe. The home wreckers, which was Eric, Sabrina, and Marissa. And then you had Maria on the other side. And Maria and Alex were pretty tight. He was always eating ice cream at his confessionals. He got to the merge. He was in like an interesting swing spot, but he kind of just like overplayed his hand really hard.
Okay.
And they flipped it on him.
And sounds like a good pick. You should take him.
he started off the jury with he kind of set the tone of the Terrapin Trials jury questioning a lot, which is good. I'm not saying it's good, but that is something that he did.
I feel like if the winner was someone that we don't really know that well, that Austin would feature them in the first 8 minutes. Now I'm getting into Maryland Outback edgic here, but I really like think that she had a lot of potential, even though she was the first one out. But if she won, wouldn't Austin have put in, like, I was the first one out, and now I'm going to win, sort of thing? You know what I mean? What do you think, Austin?
I will say that 19 of the 20 players get a full intro package in the episode.
Like, who doesn't? Who's the one who doesn't?
You'll find out. I'm not going to say.
All right. I'm just gonna let's go with Rebecca.
Okay.
You would have put her in the intro, but let's go with Rebecca. She will not, if the same thing happens to her again, I will eat this piece of paper. If she
goes down better than a rock, at least. I think you could stomach a piece of paper.
I will follow through, unlike Francesqua, who never even ate that rock. Ridiculous. You say you're going to do something, you got to follow through.
I should eat the rock that was my idol, that Andy Baker said wasn't my idol.
Well, yeah. It's kind of like when before we came on air, Austin said if we get more than 20 viewers, he would take his shorts off on the live stream, and now he's not doing it. I don't know when that changed.
No, I was at the premiere. The premiere has to get more than 20 viewers.
Oh, okay. I think we can safely take the over on that as well. And sidebar, what's it going to take for you to bust open whatever bottle that is behind you on that plaque and just down it on the live stream? Oh, is that alcoholic? And would that be an interesting live stream for people?
This does not look like it's good wine anymore. That's not the color you want for Merlot.
Sorry for the people who are potentially hearing this without video, but Austin's had this bottle of something behind him, and I've been dying to get him to just pound the whole thing like Craig Kilborn's last show on Late Night. Very dated reference for a bunch of people who are all several years younger than me.
I didn't get that one.
All right. I need to do one more. I don't really remember this person either. Just a very brief. I won't do this again. This is the last person that I'm kind of unfamiliar with. Michelle, can you remind me about Michelle? Why do I forget Michelle?
Michelle was in Guts and Glory. She was tight with Katie. She was part of that core four. She was on the original Sokotoa tribe, and then she was on that core four with Katie and Renee and Matt, and then they flipped on her and took her out because they were worried about Alex's idol.
Not a great sign, but of the people that are left, I'm having a hard time seeing any of these people really winning, and so I'm gonna go with the person that I know the least about because her bio looks good, let's give Michelle a shot. Let's do it. Why not? Yeah.
That's good strategy, especially you've said several times the same way when we were talking about, well, Micah is going to be the level one least threatening person from the Soka trio. Yeah. So actually they should take him out first and leave in the bigger targets. Maybe there is something to take the same kind of reason I took Shubal. Having no real basis of information may be better than knowing negative things about someone.
Yeah. I'd like to pick like Chris Thomas, but even in the bios, people can't stand him. Right? They don't seem to like him very much. So I'm going to go with Michelle. Let's go. Team Michelle.
Any other hot takes on Michelle from the group?
I liked Michelle her first time around. I did remember Michelle, unlike certain well-regarded Survivor players. I'm excited to have Michelle back for All-Stars, and I do think she's someone who could show a lot more the second time around.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Michelle is not really someone that you have hot takes about, right? Unless you think she's a Kelly Wentworth lying in wait. What is there to say that's controversial?
I think she's the Kelly Wentworth that will win. How about that?
Wow.
I hope now that I have her on my team. But
thought that, you may have picked her earlier. But it's fine. The danger of letting her go down so far.
If there's anything I know about Adam Klein, it's that he's a big Michelle fan.
Yeah, there you go. When did Guts and Glory air? I feel like it probably aired when I was like just back from Survivor, and that whole time of my life is such a freaking blur to me. So,
yeah, I mean, Michelle is not one of the most, like, it's probably low down in the memorability of the All-Stars cast. I certainly recognize that. I thought she was a fun, kind of more low-key presence who stepped up a bit when she actually was going in tribal, she got out in her first tribal, but I thought there was some untapped potential there.
You didn't say that. I just picked two people that went home first.
Well, she didn't go home first. She went home with her tribe. It was like the seventh episode.
My team is something else.
Well, at this point, like, there isn't really much options left. So Michelle's a decent pick. Like, you just feel indifferent about her.
Right. And Austin has emphasized a couple of times that this draft may be more or less just throwing darts at the board. And I think, picks that at this moment may seem a little suspect. Once this season gets going, I think our tunes may be changing a bit on a lot of these people.
If Shannon does win, I will, even though I will lose this draft, I will take some small degree of credit.
Yeah, we could have done an auction. I apologize for that. I wasn't really up to running an auction tonight. After
an Austin auction? I don't know if the wordplay gods would allow it.
Auction.
I thought Adam was saying he was going to take his shorts off, but apparently we're not going to get treated to that either.
I've seen way too much of Adam's underwear on Durham Warriors. this is a very notable sax.
And on national television.
And that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sax, is that the brand?
Sax.
Yeah.
Yes. It is.
That's what you meant. Okay.
It is the best brand. Shout out to Saks. Go shop there.
Saks is a sponsor of Survivor Maryland officially.
Is this branded content? Is this all? Yeah.
Along with the Coke bottles I had in season two.
It's all I wear now.
All right.
I'll choose my pick now.
Your pick.
I'm going to choose Alex G. So he did pretty good on his season. He was a little like low key, but I thought he did pretty well. Like, I feel like he would be comparable to Evan, just less of a character. So I would choose Alex G.
Yeah, in casting, he was like the replacement Zach. Like, it would have been Zach's spot, and Zach didn't get back to me for a while. Alex was like begging me to get on for as soon as he got out. So,
well, that's good. Someone that's who's dying good. To be that out there is great. Great
info. 30 seconds ago, I would have picked him. At least he voted out at his first tribal council. I think I dropped the ball on Alex there.
Yeah, that's when you brought him up, I was so glad you didn't pick him, because like that was the only one left who I actually kind of liked.
I'm going to look back on that and regret it when Alex wins. I think that's a good pick now that I know that he really wanted on Austin.
A lot of people. So did Michelle.
Good.
It's back on me, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because I was going to pick between Alex and my actual pick, and that's Eric, who I don't think his name has been mentioned a single time in this episode so far. And I don't know if that's for good reason or not, because on his season, he was one of the more like aggressive players, one of the potential winners, I think. Like, we saw his alliance get taken down, but if things go the other way, then it seemed like he was in pretty good with his group. And I think on a season with so many bigger names, the names that people actually are giving in their bios, like you, the Chris's and everyone else, they will get taken down before he will. And so he might be the guy who's like leading the charge against that, so and getting the troops behind him. So he could flame out early. I'm certainly open to that. He could just be the first boot and I look like an idiot again. But I think there's some upside there. So I'm hitching my wagon to him.
Yeah, it is funny that because Eric was a really big character on the season. I think he just like kind of got forgotten because Terrapin Trials was so defined by those last three episodes. He like kind of got out before it got dark.
Yeah, you read the bios, and no one except the Terrapin Trials people are mentioning the Terrapin Trial, the Terrapin Trials people. There we go. It seems like they're the forgotten season almost in their own little universe in the corner.
Any other thoughts on Eric from the?
Eric was going to be my next pick. I'm ready to run through a brick wall with that pick, baby. I was excited to pick Eric.
Who you got instead?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm deciding. And I think in the spirit of throwing a dart, let's go with Sabrina here on my team. Why not? I thought Sabrina was a lot of fun, more in the entertainment capacity than the like hardcore gamer capacity. But I do think anything's possible for people playing for the second time, especially those who are probably not entering the game with giant targets on their back. And I would guess Sabrina is not someone that people are out there desperate to be gunning for. So I think welcome aboard Sabrina to Team Colin here.
I think it's a good choice, especially considering she got an intro confessional. Mm. And like I was saying, if someone's going to win and we don't remember them all that much, they're going to be featured in the beginning, just like Sabrina was. Although the running thing, she kept bringing up the running thing. So I have a feeling this is one of Austin's little fun little throwbacks where she's like, oh, I hope there's not a running challenge. And then there's a running challenge and then she loses it and gets sent home because she can't do the running. That's my guess. But it could also be that she won the whole season.
Or she, yeah, the running did come up quite a bit, including in her written bio. And I'm guessing at a certain point there will be some challenges where you have to run. But who knows if she's even going to be in a position where she needs to win those challenges. Maybe losing them is going to be better for her game long term. I'm thrilled to have Sabrina, the more I think about it.
The other reason running that is included. Sorry, go ahead. I've spoken.
It's fine. I was going to say running is a good low budget choice for a survivor challenge. If you're out of ideas, just have them run around something and it can't go that badly.
Is there going to be a water challenge this season? Can we get the inside scoop?
There will not be. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, actually, I'm not watching then.
It's a challenge that has some water, but there's not like a pool challenge.
Okay. Well, then I'm out. I'm done. I'm not going to be tuning in.
Sorry.
All right. And so I think this is the point where I think it would be more fair to go back to Adam here instead of making him take the end. But I'm happy to go again and maintain the integrity of a snake draft.
I don't know. Aren't you guys a little bit threatened by my team of Alex, Nicole, Rebecca, and Michelle?
The pick is yours if you want it.
I think you guys should be nervous about this. All right, so is that what's happening? Am I going?
Yeah, we'll go reverse order again, just because it really is unfair in a snake draft with an odd number of rounds. Yeah,
Hillary's in favor.
Okay. All right, so it's between, to recap, we have Brandon, Chris, T, Ashley, and Sierra left, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go with Brandon.
Nice.
The audience choice fan favorite. I think that Brandon is probably a lot more popular amongst the cast than he was with the audience because of like unfavorable circumstances. I think that he's probably a really nice guy and going to get along well with people in the game. And, social 75%. So I'd love to pick Chris, like I said, but if social 75%, I don't think I can do that.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick of the four remaining. I'm doing that based on that too. So I'm picking Sierra just because in the bios, a lot of people hated Ashley and Chris T. So yeah.
All right, I'll go with Chris T because I think he at least has that like frat boy thing going for him where people, he has this charisma that seems to draw people in and then repel the other half. But we'll focus on the good stuff for now. I think like he can get some people on his side. He's well connected with the people from his season. And if there's anyone who can like overturn that perception of him and people will be pleasantly surprised, I think it is Chris T. Whereas Ashley, I think, like, has already been written off by half the cast. And even if maybe they like him more than they expect, I don't know if she can win with that.
All right, well, good. You guys have fallen right into my master plan. I wanted Ashley all along, and I'm happy that this has all worked out so well.
Perfect. I'm glad you're happy with that.
Yeah, Austin, who would have been your first round pick?
I will talk after the premiere. Me and the two like main crew people at the time for All Stars, I was a little short staffed with a lot of them playing, but. Me and Steve from Maryland Outback and Alex Burkow from Maryland Outback, we did a draft right after the premiere. So I'm not sure if I'm going to post the whole thing or not. I might not do it during the season because, you know, plenty of like behind the scenes info. We know I think there's something like secret or anything. But...
Wait, you're spoiled? I just did a podcast with a spoiled guy?
I do know the premiere results. That's about it, though.
Yeah, Austin, your mic is doing whatever it does again, by the way, just FYI. Right, hopefully. What's that?
Better now?
Not quite.
Okay. Absolutely not.
We'll figure it out. We'll get it together. Did anyone write down the draft order?
Yeah, I have the draft. Don't worry.
Okay.
Can
we run back through it? Can we get a recap of who drafted whom?
Yeah.
That was my team.
Yeah, so let's start with Adam's team. So I was just to wrap up what I was saying. I was going to say that I did a draft after. So I'll give you my top picks after the premiere, I guess. I think that's fair to do, right?
Do it now.
But I won't do anything more than that. So Adam's team, first pick, he had Alex Pascal, Alex P. from Guts and Glory, Nicole Senti from Maryland Outback, Rebecca from Maryland Outback, Michelle from Guts and Glory, and Brandon from Guts and Glory. So no Terrapin Trials love for Adam.
The chat loving Adam's team right now.
Does the chat? Oh yeah, the chat's probably like, what a jokester. I mean, look, nothing can be worse than my Ghost Island boot list. So,
well, how bad was that? Can you?
Every single person that was voted out pre-merge, I had making the jury at least. Every single one.
That's hard to do.
Yeah,
I in one of the drafts I did, I had Jacob and Morgan as my two picks, and so I was done after the second episode and just sit the season out.
That's pretty bad.
And then
too.
Jacob was also my overall winner pick, so not a great season for me. Hoping to rebound in the near future, but yeah, this is
mine was Brendan.
Well, my winner pick was Kellen, so
and she's going to win, so you're good.
Yeah. I think Wendell.
I'm Team Wendell as well right now, but Kellen's still in there with a chance.
So we got Adam's team. Moving on to Hillary's team, we've got Holly as the first pick, Evan, Siona, Alex G, and Sierra. So we've got three seasons represented, three from Terrapin Trials, one from Guts and Glory, and one from Outback. Any thoughts on Hillary's team?
Horrible team. Terrible picks all across the board.
I think Adam has a decent team, considering a lot of them are like low-key players. And you don't really want big person. Like, I don't think big personalities are going to win. But I don't know. He's a decent team if you're choosing just people who are going to be under the radar. But I think my team is pretty solid.
I was wondering about that myself, because I think the big personalities, we see them as big personalities because we're just watching the edited like 45-minute videos or whatever. But when you're getting to know them over the course of 70, 80 days, maybe maybe that perception is different. Maybe the people who are like these big personalities are just part of your life. You don't really register them as big. I don't know. Maybe it goes the other way. Who knows? But
time will tell.
Well, Austin knows, and he's just being cagey as hell. He won't tell us what happened. I know, it's really frustrating.
Your insight discussion has been severely limited. You know, like, where's your team? Your team sucks.
My team was the 20.
Your team has less of a chance than mine.
I'm picking Fluke.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Dom's team, which is Dom has first pick of Shannon. Then he's got Chris LeCompte. Yeah, Shannon, the sought-after pick for everybody. Chris LeCompte, Ryan Crowder, Eric King, and Chris Thomas. So four guys.
Big personalities on that. Dang.
Legends like only.
I want to see that team at doing Flip Cup Survivor.
Dom, you feeling good about it?
I don't know if I'm feeling good, but I like my team. I'm going to enjoy cheering for them team. To do well.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to have, going in, I didn't expect to have either of the Chris's. So having that duo is going to be fun. But then I think Shannon's got a shot. I like Eric as like a low-key pick with a lot of upside. And then I can't remember who my fifth person was, but I'm sure they were great too.
Ryan.
Yes, there we go. So all the reasons I gave, presumably for him, are smart and well considered.
I just realized I wrote for Colin's team, Ash Lai. L-E-Y or E-I-Y-E. So I don't know.
Spoiler?
I don't know what that means, but she has an eye. I can't confirm she has eyes. So Colin's team, we've got Micah, Shubal, Victoria, Sabrina, and Ashley. So Colin's team, the only one is this. Yeah, you have all four seasons represented. Congratulations.
Thank you. I mean, whoever has Shubal,
we didn't have a chance.
You had a chance. Shubal was in the second round, the last pick of the second round.
Yeah, I did it on purpose. I love my team. I'm ready to lock it in. I think it's a done deal already. So I'm excited to watch the inevitable unfold and watch my team crush it.
Colin is more overrated than his team.
I don't even know what that means. Is his team highly? I don't know. It was just
I'm pretty overrated. I definitely am overrated, just it in was, general.
It was an insult.
Okay, got it. Understood. All right. Just real quick, every other person, do you have a vote on the other team besides yours that you think is the best?
They were all trash. Mine, I got only the good players.
They wouldn't expect nothing less.
My vote is Dom. I think Dom sounds really good.
Yeah, Team Dom.
Team Dom, popular.
Of course. Right. It's the only place to be. I liked Hillary's team. I thought Colin's team was good too. Adam's team, I don't know what's going on there, but.
Did I say Dom? I meant my own. Screw you,
good
Dom.
Good save, man. Good,
screw
good
you. You can't all call right. I'm the only one that's allowed to call my team trash. Okay? No one else can call my team trash.
I don't. You are trash. At drafting.
Michelle. Okay. Brandon.
You have no picks.
All right. Well, that was fun for me, at least. We'll see how fun it is for you all. I have nothing else in terms of stuff I want to get to. Do any of you guys have anything else you want to say about anything Survivor Maryland or otherwise related before we... It's been over 2 hours, or probably about 2 hours now, so...
No, thanks so much for having us. I'm excited to watch the season when it allegedly premieres in 8 nights. We'll see. We'll see about that. But no, Austin, thank you so much for having us on.
No, yeah, I had a good time.
Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was excited to watch the season early 2017 when I thought it was going to be coming out. I'm even more excited to watch it, hopefully with you in a few days' time.
Yes. So we will be, I will see three of you in Boston. Hillary, if you want to join in Boston, feel free to fly there for 2 weeks from now. But wait, it's the wrap event. So Robin's podcast. So it's not like the three of us are we're having a meetup without you. It was not planned.
Wait, Adam, you're going to be there?
Oh, did I reveal that?
See you guys.
Adam's cousin will be back at the live know-it-alls.
You heard it here first on the Survivor Maryland preseason round.
I will be on my way to DC for a work event, and I'm stopping into Boston on the way.
Nice.
I'll be there for like a day and a half.
Oh, that's it? And then you're going to DC?
Yep.
Well, I will also be in DC at some point.
Well,
but you're going to still be in Boston.
Adam, enjoy your evening of getting mobbed the entire time and not being able to go to the bathroom without four people following you.
No, we're going to have fun. We're going to watch Survivor Maryland All-Stars.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, fun.
Yeah, we should together.
Not too late.
I was trying to figure out a time for it, but we should watch together in Boston. That would be fun for me.
Definitely. Yeah, that would be fun. And then you can show us the rest of the season too.
Right.
That's right. That'll be the plan.
Are you done with it?
I have 14 episodes fully laid out besides music, and the last two are sort of laid out. Not there yet. We're on a good pace for now.
Should I bring the Mole Lake Tahoe hard drive?
No, not yet. Not there yet. Maybe next time. Next time.
Come on.
Absolutely not. I will see you guys in Boston. Just some couple things to wrap up. You should follow all of these people on their social media. Do you guys, you guys, I think, can find them. I tagged them in the different tweets I did. So find their Twitters there. Leave your comments on whose team you think is the best, whose team you think is the worst.
Don't do that.
Feel free to pile on Adam if that's what you think is right. But yeah, I just want to thank all of you guys again for coming on. It was a ton of fun for me. And, you know, all of you guys, including you, Hillary, were people that gave me a feeling of a lot of legitimacy to my show and made it really fun for me to work on all through the years. And it was fun to be able to really helpful. I mean, when I went on the podcast and had the Redmond article and then Adam tweeted about it, like this all happened in like a week for Guts and Glory. And it just, it legitimately had a huge impact on my viewership.
We're taking the credit for all that, by the way. It's not Redmond. Whatever. We don't care about him.
Yeah.
And now we're going to take all those viewers and we're going to send them. That's a shirt. Sacks. No.
We're working your branding there, Adam. Come on.
Yeah, great work.
It needs a little practice, though. You need the Instagram model if you wanted that. All right, so that's all I got. I will wrap it up. Thank you for everyone who watched tonight. We had a lot of viewers throughout the whole time. I'm sorry to get to read through the comments section or whatever. Let us know what your thoughts were, your favorite teams. I will see you guys. I'm probably not going to do any videos before the premiere. I'm just going to keep cranking stuff out. So we've heard enough. We're ready to go. It should be a lot of fun. And the other thing I'll say is, and I'll post about this during the week, not a video, but I will say we are doing applications for Survivor Maryland Season 11 right now.
Coming March 2024 to YouTube.
So Season 11 is happening. If you are going to Maryland next year, if you are at Maryland right now, reach out to us. There's an application link. We'll let you know. Or if you know somebody who's in Maryland and you want to see them on the show, or you want to message someone random and tell them.
Please. How will the editing ever catch up with the filming?
I don't know, but Season 6 has been in the works for a while by not me, so.
Yeah, I guess it's not your problem anymore.
I may help in a little bit, but it's not my problem. I've done my work. Be a lot of fun when it happens. Let us know if you're interested in that. And obviously, I always say, you know, catch up on the seasons before All-Stars. If you want, let people know about this, that you like it. It's obviously fun for people to talk about. I had a lot of fun talking about it tonight. So,
you talked about it.
Well, yeah, I sat and listened about it, but other people
didn't give away nothing.
Yeah, well, genuinely worried that I would come on and give spoilers, and I feel confident.
You should have.
So,
what year was this filmed in?
This was filmed in the fall semester of 2015.
So, how often do you guys film the Survivor if you're on season 11 at this point?
Pretty much every semester. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's why the backlog is there. But people are having fun, and there are some great feature characters. And
Chris LeConte's already a four-time player.
He's on his fifth season. We bring him back every time.
He still hasn't graduated.
Yeah, he stayed. Well, actually, Shubal prolonged his graduation partially to play All Stars. So.
You're kidding.
That's commitment. See, if Adam had known that, he would have picked him.
Yeah, now you're coming in with the info.
All right. I will wrap it up. Thank you guys
definitely
again.
I'm going to find an idol because that was in the intro, and he said, I'm going to find an idol, and Austin loves to throw those things in.
Well, you texted me saying that you thought he was going to get voted out with an idol, I think is what you said.
Did I say that? See, I don't even remember what I said. Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right.
Yeah.
I do believe that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will have a lot of fun. The premiere should be a blast, and the whole season is very fun and keeps building up. So excited to show it to you guys, and thanks again for joining me. So till next Monday, until I see you guys in Boston, and Hillary, feel free to join. See everybody later. Peace.
Bye. Wow.
Bye.